Well, good morning on this Resurrection Sunday that the world celebrates. Not just bunny rabbits and eggs and things like that and a good Sunday meal, but that the Lord was rose again. The third day, as He said. Well, in our little program, we trust the music and the scripture and all that would warm our hearts to think about our Savior and what He went through for us. To move our souls, what He did 2,000 years ago. God, who sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, who willingly paid the punishment of our sin at Calvary. And just by believing in that, not works, not coming here this morning, not donations, anything like that, but by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, as He says, you shall be saved. As we listen to the music, we trust that it'll refresh us, just to, not to be emotional, but there is things between picture and singing that will really just whelm up inside. I know it does me.
Amen.
That makes to sing how God loves us, how much He loves us. That no matter where we are and what our background was and where we came from, the Lord accepts us just like we are. So let's see the Bible. Some of the scripture we'll very familiar, but we hope that this all connected together would really give us. What can we do? Is praise Him and give Him worship. So let me open a word in prayer, and then we'll start. Our Lord, Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this time together. We thank You for this Sunday morning to celebrate our Savior's resurrection. Lord God, we think of Him showing Himself to hundreds of people and going back into heaven. And why are You looking up that the Lord will come in the same way one day? Lord, we look for that coming. Lord, we just pray that You, as we would sing, as we would all together join our voices together and praise to Thee, may be may it warm our hearts. May we leave here appreciating what we've heard this morning, that we might show to others the love of Christ that He showed for us. The Lord, we just ask You might just guide and direct as we continue this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, as David in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was not in Jerusalem, and he prepared a tabernacle to bring the Ark in, and then he wrote some scriptures, and I thought I would start with a worship hymn, Worthy of Worship. We're going to sing in a minute. It'll be up on the wall. But let me just sing. Let me just read 1 Chronicles. You can sing it. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. This is David writing. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He's also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering, come before Him, and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Well, in the Old Testament, people read the gospel message, and they read the gospel in the four gospels about the Lord coming and being born and living His life here on earth, and just reading the Old Testament promise that He would come in His birth, but also in His burial and His death and burial, resurrection. And it was already mentioned in the Lord's Supper this morning. And Abraham took the wood of burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Think of John the Baptist, where he calls out, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It's interesting, he could have just said, Behold the Lamb of God, who's going to make take us away from the Roman rule and do this. But no, John was more, he knew why the Lord came, to put away sin once and for all. a little bit before that he would go to Calvary in Luke 18. He sat down with his disciples and he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. The third day he will rise again." But they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. It's easy for us to know. We have the Scripture. So on the third day, he will rise again. They understood none of these things. So let's all sing, "Hallelujah, what a Savior." Okay. We're going to sing, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence." But before that, say a couple of verses here. Luke 22, the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. His disciples also followed him. He was withdrawn from them for about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, falling down to the ground." When we think of what the Lord went through for us, he was knew no sin, was made sin for us.
I usually do, I don't know why. That's my physical stance, even when I'm asleep. Always the skeptic, they tell me. Always standing at the back, observing and analyzing. I could see this whole thing coming over the last months as we started traveling to Jerusalem. There were old signs that things were going to change, that something big was going to happen. Everyone was more tense. We watched our backs, even if we wouldn't admit it. Jesus was getting more resistance, and often the crowd took it out on us disciples. I'm sure there were spies around, and officials, and religious bigwigs hiding in the shadows. And even Jesus was talking weird, mumbling things about suffering and betrayals and denials. I just wanted some clarity, some evidence, some open discussion, but who listens to me? And now the whole dream has collapsed, and we are left to pick up the pieces.
It's early morning, not quite dawn yet. Sun has not yet risen. It's still dark. I can't sleep. Just keep waiting, waiting for that sound that inevitably comes, the first hint of light. It's a sound that will haunt me the rest of my days. Each and every day, a rooster, cock crowing, announcing to all I failed. I couldn't keep it together. I even denied knowing him. I abandoned Jesus. I feel so guilty. Actually, it's more than guilt. It's shame. It's shame to show my face to my friends, to the other disciples, to try to make sense out of what makes no sense. I walk around with eyes pointed to the ground. I can't even make eye contact. Jesus had called me Peter the Rock. Ah, maybe he should call me a pebble or something.
It is early morning, not quite dawn yet. The sun has not risen yet. It's still dark. I can't believe that he's gone. I loved him so much. I don't think I have ever had anyone else give me as much trust and confidence, love and support as Jesus did. He called me the beloved disciple. Now he's gone. Even when he was hanging on the cross, I couldn't believe it was happening, that Jesus would die, until he looked at me, standing beside his own mother, and said to Mary, "Woman, here is your son." And then he said to me, "Here is your mother." Wow, what a calling. I will love and take care of her for the rest of my life. Jesus often talked about his own baptism, when a voice from heaven said, "You are my son, the beloved." Now I am part of that family, part of that calling. I am beloved.
It is early morning, not quite dawn yet. The sun has not risen, still dark. I couldn't sleep all night. To be truthful, I've been crying on and off since Friday. I just can't get that scene out of my head. My Jesus, suffering and dying on the cross. Jesus, he was so full of grace and forgiveness. You could see it. No, every time you saw his face, every time he looked you in the eyes and spoke your name, and to see his face slowly lose its color and then its light. I will never forget that image. It was like I was transfixed. I couldn't move. I think I was the last one to finally leave. All the men had left long before. And now I have to go to the tomb for him, to be with him. Somehow, I must protect him, at least protect his body, bring perfume, show him honor. I need to be the first one to get there before the sun comes up.
John 20. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, followed him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth lying there, the handkerchief that all had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, folded together in a place by itself. And the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. And the disciples went away again to their own homes.
Morning has broken. I have seen the Lord. It was Mary Magdalene who woke Peter and I, each drifting on and off before dawn. She was almost in hysterics. We just ran. We didn't know why or what to expect. It was like a foot race, and I had the edge. I got there first. I stopped suddenly at the edge of the tomb, half off balance, not daring to go in, just seeing the linen wrapping scattered on the ground. I knew somehow that if I took another step, if I entered further, my whole life was about to change. My mind flashed ahead to everything that could have happened, but there was just something beyond what my mind could fathom, something bigger and more amazing, and I couldn't grasp it. It was beyond my reach, unless I took that next step. Peter moved first. He always did. And then I took that step, and even the cloth from Jesus' head was neatly rolled up. The world had changed. I just knew it. Deep down, I knew that he was alive. I saw and believed.
Morning has broken. I've seen the Lord. Can you believe it? I almost missed him. It was like I couldn't see straight. First, I had come to the tomb, and the stone was gone. Panic. The body had been stolen. I must have been too late. I failed him. I ran and told Peter and the beloved disciple. My body was shaking. My eyes kept tearing up. I finally broke down outside the tomb. I just wanted to find the body. And then, who I thought was the gardener speaking to me, asking questions. It was my name. He spoke my name, Mary. And I knew, right at that instant, I knew. It was Jesus. I saw my Lord. He told me not to hold on to him. And now I don't need to. I feel so free. I can let him go because I saw him. And I'm going to tell everybody I know.
Morning is broken. I've seen the Lord. I've seen him with my own eyes. Yes, these eyes. I'm looking and seeing him again. I can look you in the eye. It all happened so quickly, so fast. Mary just ran in. Talking nonsense. And somehow, trying to scourge us back to the tomb. And it was empty. The linens and the clothes just lying there. Part of me knew already that he was alive. Something new and amazing and world-shattering had just happened. The world would never be the same. And then we saw him at the house. He just appeared like nothing had happened. Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. We're just trying to pick our jaws off the ground. And he's already sending us out to the world. I would see him again. I knew he wasn't done with me yet. By the beach, took me aside, asked me 3 times, "Do you love me?" "Of course I do," I blurted. By the 3rd time, I knew that the rooster's crow would never bother me again.
Morning is broken. I have seen the Lord. I didn't think I'd ever utter those words. Even when the rumors started, the women were crazy with their delusions. The others also said they saw him, even saw his pierced side and hands. All nonsense, illusions, daydreams, rising out of our collective grief. Let me touch the nail marks, and then we'll talk. This went on for a week. A long week where I dared not entertain the possibility even in the far recesses of my mind. And then he was right in front of me. He just appeared through closed doors. "Peace be with you." And he dared me to put my fingers on his hand and side. No more doubting, I stood there open-mouthed. I didn't even move a finger. His voice was proof enough. All I said, all I could say, was "My Lord and my God."
This is a poem I wrote. "See from his head, his hands, his feet. Jesus' head with mind all-knowing, and his mouth such truth bestowing. His head contained all creation's mysteries, yet he lowered his thoughts to our miseries. His eyes showed vast understanding and wisdom, yet kindness and gentleness also shone from them. The brutal thorns of fallen earth rested on his head, while sin's dearth was calling for his blood. This mocking crown he did allow. We sowed the thorns which pierced his brow. To save us sinners, he took the shame back then, though now he is risen, crowned with royal diadem. But see, his dear head bowed there on that cross. His hands, those hands of love, all healing. His touch of power was revealing. Our God of concern and tenderness, laying his hands on small children to bless. Healing the leper, calming the storm, hands that could the cold dead warm and make them alive again. Whose fingertips did spray out stars, those hands will forever bear the scars of lifting sinners from hell's doom. The faithful hands of our bridegroom, hands that molded the clay into man and then formed the woman from man's side. Those hands, paralyzed, disfigured, crucified. More precious than gold, his blood given forth. With his bleeding hands, he proclaimed our worth. See his hands nailed there. His feet, feet that walked so many miles, feet that encountered many trials. See his feet hanging there, nailed and bleeding. His feet that always went to the next crowd, needing his teaching, healing, deliverance, and food. Always going about, always doing good. Dirty, dusty feet, yet kissed and washed with tears. Feet led by obedience for all his years. Beautiful feet bearing good news. Salvation to the poor, oppressed, and abused. Hallelujah. But to see those very feet nailed there. Beautiful head, hands, and feet of our wonderful Savior, we worship, praise, and thank him forever. One day we will see him in the glory, but for now down here we share his story.
We're going to sing a song called "Living Hope." It's based on 1 Peter 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We had no hope as sinners, but he gives us a living hope."
Turn to heaven and spoke your name.
in the chorus if you want.
In a Sunday school class of 8-year-olds. 8-year-olds can sometimes be cruel. The third graders did not welcome Philip to their group, not just because he was older, he was different. He suffered from Down syndrome and its obvious manifestations, his facial characteristics, his slow responses, and his symptoms of retardation. One Sunday near Easter, the Sunday school teacher gathered some of those plastic eggs. Remember the kind in which some ladies' pantyhose are packaged? Large plastic eggs that pull apart in the middle. The Sunday school teacher gave one of these plastic eggs to each child. And on that beautiful spring day, each child was to go outdoors and discover for himself some symbols of new life and place that symbolic seed or leaf or whatever they found inside the egg. And then they could come back to class and open their eggs one by one. And each youngster would explain how her find was a symbol of new life. So out went the youngsters. When they found their symbols, they came back in. They gathered around on the appointed day and they put their eggs on the table, and the teacher began to open them one by one. One child found a flower, and all the children oohed and awed over the lovely symbol of new life. In another egg was a butterfly. Beautiful, the girl said. And it's not easy for an 8-year-old to say beautiful. Another egg was opened to reveal a rock. That's crazy, said one. How's a rock supposed to be like new life? And some of the children laughed. And immediately a boy spoke up. Hey, that's mine. I knew everyone would get flowers and leaves and butterflies and all that stuff. So I got a rock to be different. A rock means life to me. And everyone laughed. And then the teacher opened the last one. and there was nothing inside. Someone didn't do it right. That's not fair, someone said. That's stupid, said another. And the teacher felt a tug on his shirt. And it was Philip. And looking up, he said, "That's mine. I did do it. It's empty. I have new life because the tomb is empty." And the class fell silent. And from that day on, Philip became part of the group. And they welcomed him. Whatever had made him different was never mentioned again. Philip's family had known that he would not have a long life. There were just too many things wrong with his tiny body. And that summer, overcome with infection, Philip died. And on the day of his funeral, 9 8-year-old boys and girls confronted the reality of death, and they marched right up to his altar, but not with flowers. 9 children with their Sunday school teacher placed on the casket of their friend their gift of resurrection hope, an empty egg.
Lord's been
Amen.
Our God and our Father, what a pleasure it is to be amongst believers. The world that we see today, we can see why the great God that you are saw a reason to send your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth. We thank you for that. We thank you for your Son being willing and obedient to come here. The most sinful man to walk among this world as it is, as it was. And now he says, how do we know he lives? He lives within our heart, Lord. All the world has the opportunity to accept him as their Savior. It is very well. Every corner has a church. There's no excuse. And when they look at creation, they see that there is a God. And now they would need to do to be the church. As we and every one of us have done. And then now to receive him as our Savior. We thank you for this time together today, Lord, and our worship. It's not to a dead Savior, but to a living Savior. Mm-hmm. Through the resurrection. Mm-hmm. It said it, now you sit at the right hand of God the Father, intercede for each and every one of us. We are thankful for that. But not only that, Lord, you told your disciples, I'll send you a helper. I must go. And I will send you the helper. Mm. And here we are, Lord. We are the ones that are recipients of that helper. And we are thankful for that. Mm. The indwelling Holy Spirit that leads, guides, and directs us in all that we do. Mm-hmm. As we share with one another, our love for one another. It's just unbelievable, yeah. Mm. So I am thankful for this opportunity to be among the believers here. I'm thankful for the Spirit that leads us. That we don't do any of this on our own. Mm. It's all for our love for you, Lord, and your love for us. So as we go about our business today with our families, Lord, we would pray that we continually keep you in mind, give you thanks for the rest of the day and for the time here that we have left on earth. As some of us can see, our days are getting shorter. And we look forward to the day when we face you, when we come face to face with you, Lord. But until then, we would just pray the Spirit continues to lead, guide, and direct us in the purpose that you have put us here upon this earth for. And we thank you now again, Lord, for those who put this program together, for those who participated in it. Because, Lord, it has certainly been a blessing to we who have sat back here and listened and enjoyed it. Mm. And another thing, bottom line is, Lord, it's not to a dead Savior. It's to a living Savior that we give you thanks. Mm. And we pray all these things now, Lord, in your name. We give you thanks in the Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.